This morning I want to ask one of the big theological questions. Now don't panic, theology is nothing to be afraid of. It's just when people talk and think about God, about who God is and what God is like. So I have one of the big questions to ask this morning, and it's this. What is God up to? What is God up to? Well, the answer is in the reading that we had from Colossians this morning, and we're going to have a look at it. What is God up to, and how is he going about it, doing what he is doing? This is a question I ask myself a lot in everyday life. Not so much about God, about the people that are around about me. What are you up to? Yesterday morning, we had to get Fraser down to his Abbey Theatre Club that he does on a Saturday morning for 10 o'clock. So about 10 to 10, Fraser and I are in the kitchen waiting to go, and there's still no sign of Elaine, although I hear a lot of commotion in the bedroom and back and forward to the wardrobes and so on. And 10 o'clock had come and gone and she still wasn't down. And so I was caused to go into the hallway and shout up, "What are you up to?" Of course, what she was up to was trying to decide what jacket to wear that would match the clothes she was wearing that day. And as I say, it caused me to wonder, what are you up to? Sometimes I hear such commotions coming from the boys' bedroom, or sounds like there's a bomb going off or something like that, and I shout out, "Callum, what are you up to?" One of my spare time treats is taking the football team at Lady Lone School. We have an A team and a B team. The A team is reasonably good. The B team had their first ever games on Thursday just there. I have never seen a collection of players like this. Never. Dave Law, you were there. You witnessed it, Dave, didn't you? This is the most inept, useless bunch of boys that have ever set foot on a football field. Now, I'm only hoping they're going to improve. And I'm probably a little bit harsh, but 9-0 was the loss. And really, if it had been 15-0, it wouldn't have been unfair on them. And I have to say that most of the way through that game, I was finding myself asking, "What are you up to?" In terms of my boys on that team. What are you up to? The big and deep question is to ask that of God. What is he up to? What is God doing? What is he about? That's the question. And now comes the answer. God is bringing the whole of the universe back to himself. God is bringing everything back to himself. In the very beginning, there was perfect togetherness between God and everything that he had created. Perfect togetherness, harmony, oneness. And of course, this is so beautifully depicted in these early chapters of Genesis. We have all that God has made. We have human beings in the midst of it. And everything is hanging together beautifully as it was intended. And then came disobedience. And as a result of disobedience, there came dislocation. And it's what we call, in theological terms, the fall. The breakup of what earlier had been the togetherness of God and his creation. That which was made to be one was no longer so and had come apart, dislocated. And again, Genesis beautifully describes it. in these terms: Adam and Eve being sent out from the Garden of Eden. It's a brilliant image. The Garden of Eden is where God is, where we should be. But through disobedience, there came dislocation, and human beings out of the garden, out of God's presence, no longer together, no longer in harmony. And this is how the Bible describes the breakup of what God intended. The apartness that we now know and experience every day of our lives. The apartness that is now there between us and God. The apartness that we now know between ourselves and others. And even the apartness that sometimes inhabits our very own souls. The sense that somehow something is wrong. It's the brokenness of the world and of life. And it's the hurting that we experience. All as a result of the dislocation between God and everything that He made. It's why, when you turn on your television screens, you hear about genocide in Syria. It's why that in the country of Sudan at the moment, hundreds of thousands are on the point of starvation because of unrest between the governing party in Sudan and those who are seeking more autonomy. It's why when we read our newspapers, we hear about stabbings and assaults and murders. I just was flicking through the pages of the Arbroath Herald just yesterday. And in the first few pages, there are always those short notices coming out of our sheriff court. One after another, so-and-so of such-and-such address, age 18 or 24, charged with assault and battery. Even this week it really struck me the number of times the guilty party had been assaulting a woman. And I think to myself, is this the world we live in? And it is. Some of you know who I mean by Lucy. Lucy, who, of course, has gone up to Aberdeen to study, but used to always formally come with Mary Scott. Just heard last night that Lucy's dad was assaulted on this train platform at the train station in Dundee. Completely unprovoked attack. Was assaulted and ended up in hospital. You see, these are the random things that go on in our world, but they are all coming as a result of this. That God is here and His creation is there. There is dislocation. And things are not as they should be. And we're living with the consequences of it. When we hear about oil spills in the Gulf of Mexico, we're seeing the results of the dislocation, the polluting and ruining of the world. When we hear about Afghanistan and more soldiers dying, we're hearing about what's wrong in the world. But so too, because from Afghanistan comes 90% of the world's poppies, therefore opium, that is such a scourge in our society and beyond. All it is as a result of the dislocation. And beyond that, I want to say this as well, that the illnesses we are subject to, that the emptiness some of us feel, the frustrations and hurts that some of us feel in life, all too a result of this dislocation. I want to go to so far as to say that 28, mostly kids, killed coming home from Belgium earlier this week is to consequence of the world that we live in, which is not the world that God intended it to be. We're all subject to the brokenness and at times the chaos of this world because of the dislocation. God is in the business of fixing all of that. This is what Paul meant when he said, God is bringing it all back to himself. God is in the business of fixing all of it. I was watching Casualty last night, never by choice, but it's what's on in our house on a Saturday night. And there was a young guy on it whose life was spiraling out of control because of something that he had done. And now he was running around trying to do this, that, and the next thing. And here's what he said, I'm trying to make things right. It really leapt out at me. I'm trying to make things right. So often as we look at the mess of our world, whether globally or locally, we get this feeling too, if only we could make things right. While all the time the reality is this, we can't. It is much deeper a problem than that you would be able to fix. It all comes down to the dislocation between God and us, his creation. And there is nothing you can do to fix that. But God can. And that is what he is up to. Elaine was trying to find something to wear. Who knows what my beating footballers were trying to do. But what is God up to? I can answer that one straight off. Give you a very simple answer to that one. What is God up to? He's in the business of fixing it. Bringing it all back to himself. The way it was and the way he intends it to be and the way it will be in the fullness of his kingdom. That's what God's up to. And the second part is this, how's he doing it? What's his tactics? What's his strategy for bringing everything back to himself to recreate that wonderful harmony and union that was there intended? What's God doing about it? How's he trying to do it? And again, I offer you the simplest of answers. He is doing it through Jesus. And through Jesus' death on the cross, the blood of Jesus poured out. That is how God is fixing. That is how he is bringing it back to himself. This is his mission, his desire, what he is about. He created everything we see through Jesus and is redeeming everything through Jesus, bringing it all back to himself. I love the way it's put in the Message translation, which a number of you have. All the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe get properly fixed and fitted together. That's what God's up to. Everything that's broken in this world of ours, everything that's broken in our lives, dislocated, God is in the business of fixing it. And he's doing it through the blood of Jesus poured out on the cross. At the tail end of the 19th century, diphtheria, black diphtheria, was one of the cruelest of killers across the known world. Thousands and thousands of children, countries the world over, dying of diphtheria. There were those medics who were determined to find a solution to it. And not least a Frenchman by the name of Louis Pasteur. Louis Pasteur, who worked day and night with fellow researchers trying to find a vaccine, as it were, a solution to the disease of diphtheria. And as he got nearer and nearer to an antidote, they began to trial this vaccine in horses. And there was a great resistance to this. He was sort of banished for his thinking. People rejected it, but he continued. Pasteur and his friends, they went out of Paris into the forest and set up their own basic laboratory. They gathered 20 horses, and he brought out a bucket full, a metal bucket full of grime, full of the diphtheria virus or germ. And one of the horses they jabbed with their antidote. And then they smeared around the muzzles of these horses this diphtheria germ. And very, very quickly, the horses began to fall ill. It's a horrible picture, writhing in agony until they died. One of them alone fell sick, but didn't die. The one who had, the horse that had been jabbed, it was perilously ill, and then slowly began to recover while all the other horses died. And it made a full recovery. And Pasteur and his associates knew then, we've got it. We've got the solution. We've got the answer, the cure for diphtheria. And now it's in the blood of this horse. Knowing that there were literally hundreds and hundreds of children lying in hospital wards in Paris, suffering from diphtheria and needing an instant solution, Pasteur took a sledgehammer and battered this horse over its skull and killed it outright. It's a brutal kind of picture. I apologise for it. But what they did was to drain off the blood of that horse. And then they made their vaccine and went to Paris and into these hospital wards. And pretty well forcibly, they inoculated all of the children there. And virtually all of the children there survived and lived. And from there, of course, the vaccine went across all of the known world. It's a horrible picture of that horse being killed for its blood. But it brings to mind that Jesus was killed for his blood. His blood was poured out. And as with the horse, it was for the healing of diphtheria. The blood of Jesus is for the healing of the brokenness of our world. What's going on in Syria and Sudan? What's going on the train stations in Dundee? And what's going on in our own towns, in our own streets and homes? Wherever there is brokenness and hurting and apartness, all of that God wants to deal with. And Jesus died a brutal death that his blood would be the solution. This morning we have wine here on our table. Wine that represents, of course, the blood of Christ. So when we come to that part of our service in a little while, when it's your chance to receive and drink of that wine, please know that as you do so, that Jesus willingly gave up his life so that God could bring you back to himself. So that God could fix the brokenness which is him there and you here. So that God could fix all of the brokenness of this world and bring it back to himself. That's what the wine represents. And this is God's mission. Bringing it back, fixing it. He does it through Jesus on the cross. And amazingly, now he entrusts us, his church, to make this solution known. To make this answer known. That we might communicate what the cure is for the problems of this world. And that, folks, is why we as a church exist at all. Not for our own sakes. Not that we can be cozy together for an hour of worship here and there. No, the church exists that through us God might bring his answer to the world, which is Jesus. And this is the mission. A world that so desperately needs to know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, the answer. Back then, as Louis Pasteur brought an answer to the world for diphtheria, so still today the role of the church is to bring the answer to the world, which is Jesus. So what is God up to? He's fixing it. All that is broken and dislocated in our world. That's what he wants to do. Is doing. Through Jesus. And now through us. Thanks be to God. Let's pray.